Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The State of the Union goes global.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. President Obama was at the U.S. Capitol last night giving his State of the Union address, but he took us around the world for his view of the global economy and America's place in it, talking about free trade agreements and exports.
To help businesses sell more products abroad, we set a goal of doubling our exports by 2014. Because the more we export, the more jobs we create here at home. Already our exports are up.
The president also talked about education here at home, infrastructure spending, and cutting corporate taxes. You heard that right, corporate taxes. And here to tell us why that received such a prominent platform is Marketplace's Elisa Roth, live in our New York studio. Good morning, Elisa.
So the thing about corporate taxes, they're supposed to be a way to help the economy grow without making the deficit worse. The government could cut corporate taxes, which would mean that companies would have more money to spend elsewhere. But the overhaul would also eliminate the deductions and the loopholes that let a lot of companies avoid a lot of taxes. It's also a way for the administration to seem, or even really to be, business friendly, or more business friendly anyway. And it would help the U.S. be more competitive because our corporate tax code is so complicated. It's so full of loopholes. And the rates are so high. The top figure is 35%, which is one of the highest rates in the world.
Some U.S. companies, Elisa, complain about how they get taxed on money that they earn overseas. What did the president say about that?
Well, the thing is, the U.S. makes companies pay taxes on money that they earn abroad, whereas most major countries don't. And businesses say that gives their competition in places like Japan and the U.K. a big advantage.
All right. Marketplace's Elisa Roth in New York. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
Security has been stepped up at airports across Russia that follows Monday's suicide bombing. They killed 35 people and left dozens more injured there. The added measures could become permanent in Russia, but not necessarily around the globe. From Moscow, Peter Van Dyke reports.
Russia's president says security at Russian airports may have to rise to levels seen in Israel, where airport security perimeters sometimes extend far beyond the terminal buildings. U.S. and Western security officials say the type of bombing that occurred in Moscow could just as easily have happened in the U.S., but since Americans are already unhappy with the degree of intrusiveness at airport security, Philip Baum, the editor of Aviation Security International magazine, says the political will for more American security measures does not exist.
Airport owners are trying to encourage off-airport business onto airport grounds, and it does present a major security challenge that you cannot guard 100% against.
So while Russian officials say the airport attack highlights a different threat that security measures will have to adapt to, for now, U.S. travelers are unlikely to see stricter controls. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are higher at the moment, more than 1% in Europe. Electronics firm LG reported a loss for its last 3 months, blaming competition from the iPhone and flat-screen TV makers. It did, however, raise its yearly outlook. Wall Street yesterday, markets were basically flat. The Dow lost only 3 points to close at 11,977.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life. AllianzUSA.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
The Super Bowl is set between the Steelers and the Packers. Come a week from Sunday, there'll be one last chance for the season to see some big hits on the football field. Now, those big hits are exactly what some former players and player advocates say is wrong with the game. It's too violent, and there are too many risks of head and brain injuries. Ben McGrath is staff writer for the New Yorker magazine. He has an article about it this week, and he's with us now. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So how much of an influence does the sheer violence of football contribute to its popularity? Do people like it because there's so many hits?
I think people do. I mean, certainly historically, that was what drew people to the game. I also think that people relate to the violence on a kind of notional level, and I don't think they really understand just how violent it sometimes is.
I'm curious how these brain injuries square with the amount of money that the NFL takes in.
Your question reminds me of something that James Harrison on the Pittsburgh Steelers said when he was first villainized back in October after concussing a couple of players in the Cleveland Browns, and he said, "I try to hurt people. I don't try to injure people." And I think that the perceived distinction between hurting and injuring is kind of the dicey zone that the NFL and football tries to slide through.
We've heard from some players, some of whom are in your article, as a matter of fact, who say they wish they'd never played the game. Do others believe the big paychecks make it worth the chance of injury?
Oh, I think there are plenty of players who think it's worth it. Certainly the players who are playing now are paid a lot better than the man who I talked to who said he wished he'd never played the game. Never earned multi-million-dollar contracts. And I think the guys now look at it as this is something we go into knowing the risks. And one of the questions that the sport is facing is, well, just how well do we know the risks?
How much does the league figure injuries into the overall cost analysis? It's, you know, how cost-effective to have all these injuries?
Well, I think that depends on whether we think that the public's reaction to these injuries is ultimately going to affect its interest in the sport. One of the things that the league worry about is down the line is the, you know, maybe fans are okay with watching this, but the parents of high school players are not so cool with their kids playing. And maybe the game in a generation from now dries up. You don't have as many people who grew up playing the game, and therefore they're less likely to watch the game. So I think it's a long-term cost perspective. Will the game still be the most popular sport in America in 25 years?
Ben McGrath, staff writer for The New Yorker. Thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, a new hire at chipmaker Intel. Pop musician Will.i.am is the new corporate creative director. According to the company, the singer will be contributing to the development of laptops, tablets, and smartphones, all in the name of keeping focus on the world's youth. From now on, let's keep it a little formal. Let's just call him Mr. I.M. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Working from home can have some perks, staying in your PJs, your bed doubling as a desk, and not needing to drive, of course. But can telecommuting really help save the planet?
It's quite possible to generate more energy from the building standpoint by telecommuting than you save.
I'm Kai Rizdal, one less excuse for working from home. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.